Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Eloquently Speaking View talk show with Stacey Lunsford, and my guest this evening is Miss Marilyn Yard and Erica Burnett. Our topic tonight is self-care, and Erica Burnett is going to be our presenter tonight and the co-host for this evening's discussion. And I just have a few questions to present to the audience before I turn the mic over to Erica. And keep in mind that the discussion is self-care and why it's important. How compassionate, kind, and gentle are you with yourself? How well do you love yourself? do you trust yourself? And I'm presenting these questions so as we go throughout this discussion, you can perform self-examination and see those areas where you would like to make improvements. And hopefully you will see both your strengths and your weaknesses. And as we go through this discussion tonight, we will find ways to just take better care of ourselves. And if you have any questions during this discussion, please press 1, and we will be more than happy to allow you on the mic. And if you have comments for those that are listening via the internet, please feel free to post your comments or questions on the message board. And good evening, ladies. I'm going to let Marilyn say hello first, and then I'm going to turn the mic over to Erica.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Okay, Erica, hello. The mic is yours. Thank you for being the co-host tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. This is my first time being a co-host, so, you know, I'm a little nervous. So,
it's okay.
But thank you so much for that. And hello, Miss Marilyn. How are you?
I'm doing great, Erica. I'm doing great. Good to hear you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, we're going to get started. And the reason why, well, it's about self-care, basically, which is caring for self. And the reason why I chose this topic to talk about was because it's so very important. And self-care is very important to how we show up in the world. And it's a very much a part of our lives. And I've watched so many family members and friends and things that always put themselves aside to take care of others, to do other things, and they just, you know, just leave themselves be, and they don't give themselves the attention that they deserve. And I just watch, you know, people fall by the wayside, and they just seem not to be able to dig themselves out of that. So I wanted to talk about that because it really is very important that you care for yourself. And why it's important is because each and every time you decide that you want to put yourself to the side to take care of this task or to take care of someone else, you're sending yourself a very negative message as to say, I'm not worthy of doing for myself right now or in this moment, or this person is more important than I am. And it may not be a verbal message that you send yourself, but it's an internal message. And if you continue down that road, what happens is you start to become frustrated. You know, you begin to feel bad, and depression can kind of set in, and then you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, you know, what happened? You know, what happened? What's going on? And it's a very deep hole to climb out of. It's very hard to climb out of that. I mean, you can, of course, with the work, but it's very hard to come out of that. And we look at self-care as, you know, we always gravitate towards the physical, you know, getting our hair done, getting our nails done, getting a pedicure, you know, and things like that, which is all good. That all is a part of self-care. But really self-care starts with the internal. It's how you feel about yourself. And it's, you know, it plays a pivotal role in how, and it really, spirituality is one, that's a big one. That's a big one because that feeds everything else about yourself. So when you put that spiritual work in and you basically you pray and, you know, read your scriptures and things of that nature, it feeds your mental, your emotional, and it actually takes care of the physical, because once you, you know, feel good about yourself and you have that relationship with your creator, then the physical comes into play. You want to change your surroundings. You want to, you know, do things to better, you know, your entire life. So that's why I thought it was important, and I want to start with Marilyn and ask her what does self-care look like to you, and why is it important?
Oh, good question. Well, For me, I had to learn about taking care of myself. I was one of those persons who, what you just talked about, who always looked on other situation or circumstance more than my own, which we should, you know, as Christians. However, we have a duty to care for ourselves. I mean, we're supposed to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbors as ourselves. I think we miss out on that part where it says, as yourself. We forget we got to love self first, and that means taking time for yourself. That means resting. That means eating properly. That means doing the things that you have to do to keep this temple in order, because this is God's temple. And anybody that destroys his temple, he will destroy. That's what the word says. So we do have a duty to care for the temple, and we do need to rest. He built it in the plan. When he created the heavens and the earth, he rested on the seventh day. If he needs rest, why do we think that we don't need rest? And I have told many people that, because I see a lot of people running after this and running after that, and the kids got soccer and I got to do this and that. But if you don't slow down, he will slow you down. So I know for me, one thing for certain is to make sure that I take some time for self. And when I take that time, it's also time for me to commune with God and get connected and plugged in to the source. If you don't have any time where you're plugged in with the source, then, you know, what are you running off of? You don't have, you know, like one of those electric cars, you have to take some time and plug in. So that means sitting with him and sitting with his word and praying, not only just what you want, but also listening to see, you know, what the answers are and what he has to say to you today. So that's one of the ways that I care for myself, is I do make time for myself and time that I need to spend with the Lord, because he is first. So that's my one of those things that I do for myself.
Wonderful. And I was actually, because I was looking at the scripture, because I think it's one of the ones I noted, and that's 1 Corinthians, right? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, your body is a temple. Temple of the Holy Spirit. I was checking that out. I had that noted here, and that's absolutely right. I agree with you 100%. Our bodies are not our own. We did not create ourselves. God created us, so therefore we do have a duty to take care of ourselves, and he is where it starts. He tells you who you are, you know, what you're here, what your purpose here on this earth is, and you cannot fulfill your purpose, you know, to the highest level if you really don't take care of yourself. So that's absolutely, I definitely agree with that. We're going to call on Stacy now, Miss Stacy Lumford, the host of this show,
I'm sorry, I looked up the scripture because I couldn't, you said the scripture and I was on mute and I couldn't say it, but I have 1 Corinthians 3:16.
Oh, 3:16.
And it says, know ye not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? I mean, that's the one I have. You know, you may have something else. I just wanted to tell you that was the scripture I was using.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that, because I have a different one. I thought it was the same one, but I have 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. And it almost says
okay. Yeah. So all right.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all. Thank you for that. So I have to look at that too.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, Miss Stacy, you up? What does why is self-care important to you? Important, and what does that look like for you?
This is really a wonderful topic and a very good question. One that I'm very, very familiar with, because I have had seasons where everything and everybody came first in my life. And being a single parent, my children were my priority. And when you're juggling school, you're juggling extracurricular activities, and this one has to be there, other one has to be there, it gets busy, and you have activities on Saturdays, you know. You're constantly going all of the time. And for me, my time would be after, you know, settling down, they're in the bed, then I have that little bit of time for myself. And I'm just going to kind of, like, process with this because my children are grown now. But during that time, I didn't handle the self-care very well. But there were moments when after they went to bed, I would talk to God. And my conversation was all tears because I just didn't have the words to say. And then he would lead me to the word. And it is actually the word of God that comforted me. And God started letting me know that I need to take better care of me, that it's okay to do, you know, my motherly duties. But within that, I needed to find balance. So he started teaching me time management. And within that time, I had enough time. And it really came down to spiritual discipline for me because I needed to schedule enough time to have my devotions and my prayer with God, then my time, even my devotions and stuff with my children. And but once they went off to school, listen, that was my time to do me. I mean, you know, work and everything. But as we go, you know, as my children got older, and then it's, you know, my dad was on home care, home hospice care for a good while before he went home to be with the Lord. And it really took my whole family to take care of him. But I watched my mother. My mother went above and beyond with caring for him, and she was so tired. And so I found myself introduced to self-care again, and I started talking to her, and I said, well, Mom, there are so many children. You know, your children are here. Family is here. Why don't you take a rest? Why don't you just go take a bath, lay down and rest, and just let us do everything? But, you know, she was so busy, like if she didn't do it, it wasn't going to be done right. And the apple didn't fall far from the tree, Erica, because I adapted that same attitude. Like, I have to do this, I have to do that. And if I don't do it, it's not going to be done right. But I got burnt out. I was tired. I was overwhelmed. And I had to find that time management again. It, no matter how many times I started the journey with self-care, I had to come back to time management. Because when you neglect yourself, you kind of fall apart. And once you realize everything is out of order, then you come back to that place where you fell apart and get rooted, you know, with your foundation, everything you started, you know, from the first time. So to me, self-care is the ability to take care of yourself, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and even financially, because I believe our lives are interwoven in all of those categories, because you may be strong in self-care with your finances, but you may not be strong in self-care with your emotions. You may not be as strong with the mental part of it. So self-care, I think, is a very wide topic, and each person has to figure out those areas where they need to take better care of themselves. And the other thing I want to say is I had to recognize what my self-care stillers were, because many things was like pulling on me, demanding my care, demanding my attention, and I was acting out of compassion versus doing what God told me to do, if that makes sense. And it's a big difference. You may see a need and you may want to help somebody, but if that's not your assignment, you shouldn't touch it, because whatever comes along with that, God is not obligated to sustain you through that. And I found myself really getting burnt out by doing that, because I was just doing entirely too much. And I turn the mic back over to you.
All right. You said a mouthful. Let me tell you. I was sitting here taking notes, and you touched on some really, 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 really important stuff. And the first one that came to mind when you said time management, because I always think about parents, mothers and fathers. And it's difficult. Like, I don't have any children of my own. I had a hand in helping to raise cousins of mine, but they were not my own. I was helping. But I could even feel the pressure in doing that and without being a full-time parent. So, and I watched my mother. She was a single parent, and she had to be provider, protector, and everything. And girlfriend ran, when I say she had the energy of the Energizer Bunny, you see the commercial on? I used to watch her. But I kid you not, my mother was always, but she did take care of herself. And I remember she used to take and ship us to our grandmother's house, my brother and I, in Virginia, while she went on a cruise. She was bent on enjoying herself because she worked hard. She worked and she provided, and she felt as though she owed it to herself. So that's where, I can't say that's where I got it from. I watched her do it, but, you know, fell off of it when I got older and had to get back to it. So time management is very key. Somehow she worked it out where we had everything we needed. The household had everything it needed, and she still was able to take care of herself. So she was a good example of that. And it's time management. It's very, very, very important. I think a lot of people out here don't believe that they have time to do it, but you do. You do. You just have to work out a schedule, even if you have to do a daily planner or a weekly planner to write your stuff down. 1 o'clock, I do this. 3 o'clock, I do that. It can be worked out. It definitely can be done. Another thing you brought up was what self-care looks like for you, like for other people, because it's not all going to look the same for everybody, because all of our lifestyles are different and our values are different. So we deem certain things important and other things are not. Some people might say, well, I need to go get some false nails on my nail. That's my self-care. And some people say, no, I'm fine. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have self-care for themselves because they don't want to go get their nails done. I mean, if their nails look good to them, that's perfectly fine. Maybe sitting down and reading a book is self-care for them instead. You know what I mean? So it does look different for everybody. And then you did one real one that I didn't even think about, one real good one. It was not your assignment, meaning that you're going off to help somebody and God didn't tell you you're supposed to help them.
Yeah.
So you end up getting yourself into something that's tying up all your time and taking it away from your self-care or anything, any other project that he had for you. Now you're over here in somebody else's business, and he didn't tell you to be over there. You know what I mean? And I've done it quite a number of times and got all caught up and all stressed out over other people's stuff, trying to help
mm-hmm.
and then my stuff is sitting on the back burner and I'm running around here 12 o'clock midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning trying to get my stuff together afterwards. So I know what that means. I definitely know what that means. So those were really, 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 really good points. And what I wanted to go into next to the like the embodiments of the things that embody self-care, which you added one, Stacey, which was financial. So we said spirituality, mental, emotional, physical, and financial. I want to talk about the other parts of that as well, and they can be broken down into all of this. And a few of the things I was talking about, one in particular that I wanted to start with was boundaries.
Yes.
So boundaries is a huge one because we live in a world full of people who are always pushing those boundaries, you know, to push themselves on us and what they got to do and their stuff is important and I need to help them, you need to help me and all of her stuff. What What is your, I would say, view on boundaries as regards to self-care? And we're going to start with Stacey. We're going to start with you first.
Okay, and repeat the question.
The question is, what is your view on boundaries as it applies to self-care?
I would have to say that I am the most important person to me this time in my life. I mean, God is first and foremost, so I don't, you know, he's first. But my boundary right now is Stacy has to take care of Stacy. Mm-hmm. And everything, Erica, everything for me right now is connected to time management.
Okay.
So if I don't, you know, I have my calendars, I'm using my phone calendar, I have my to-do list, I'm even starting to, like, remind myself with things with my recorder on my phone, because when you're doing multiple things, it's easy to get lost in the things you need to do. So I said, you know what? I went to a conference with Steve Covey many years ago, and he did a quadrant on time management, and it was four boxes. And he had very urgent and then urgent. And then one box was very urgent. The second box was just urgent. And then the third box was very important. And then the last box was important. So I basically schedule my day that way. So I'm very important. I have to have that time with God in the morning before I start my day, because it helps, you know, just I get my focus. I hear from him. I talk to him. And during that time, my phone is off. My computer is off. Like, I do not allow any interruptions. And there was a time where I would let people call me any time of night, any time in the morning, and you know, to help, because I pray for people a lot, and I had to stop doing that. So that was the number one boundary that I established. You are not going to steal my time. During these hours, please don't call me. So then when I'm at work, those hours, you know, I'm a little flexible because of my breaks and things like that, but I started setting up times and just letting those that, you know, are dear to me that I work with, don't contact, I'm not available during these hours. And then, and it was hard for a couple of people, but eventually they started respecting that. But then you always get a few that don't. They want what they want when they want it. And, you know, unfortunately, you just have to ignore some people, because every time that I break my own rule, then I get sucked back into being drained. And my, that's my second boundary. If I'm helping somebody, because to me, a lot of my self-care stuff, it was always linked to helping other people. And it's a good deed. It's, you know, it's a wonderful thing to love on people and to help people. But what about when those people are just draining you? You're helping them, but they're draining you. So accountability came into play where I had to put the ball back in their court and have them take ownership of their actions and where they are. But really be honest with them and say, you know, you're really draining me right now. But, you know, and doing it in a way where it was a learning curve so that it wouldn't be offensive to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to pause there because that was a lot to take in. But that, to me, that was very important, establishing that time boundary where I do what I need to do for me, because if I don't take the time to do that, to follow that boundary, I'm no good to nobody.
Absolutely. You said a mouthful. That time thing is no joke, and I can relate because I had to cut at 9 o'clock. Oh, I don't accept phone calls after 9 or text messages unless it's a family member or it's an emergency. I'm the same way. 9 o'clock is my deadline. I am going to bed because I get up early in the morning so I can read my devotional and say my prayers and things like that. And I will not be tired the next morning knowing I have a full-time job and I'm running two other businesses on my own. So I need that time with God in the morning to get my spirit right before I walk out the door. So and when I'm eating as well, I don't answer the phone while I'm eating. And while I'm eating or I'm watching like a self-help video of some kind or something like that, I don't let anything interrupt it at all. And I designate weekends, like one weekend per month where I don't do anything else but do what I want to do.
That's good.
And I mean, you have to. It keeps you sane and it keeps you balanced and it keeps you energized. And it keeps you feeling good, knowing that you're doing the very best by yourself to take care of yourself. So, and that's a message, and that's a message I want to reiterate. Every time you put things and people before yourself, you're sending yourself a message as to say you're worth less than this situation,
yes,
this person, or this task. And you don't want to do that. You don't ever want to send yourself that message. I want to go to Marilyn. What does your view of boundaries in respect to self-care?
I'm definitely a boundaries person, and it's something that I've learned to set. Like I said before, I was a person who used to just, okay, whatever somebody had, their fire was my fire. I had to get to it, put it out, you know, and rebuild it. But I over time, it made me bitter. It made me angry. It put me in a really bad space. And so I had to do the work and start setting those boundaries and start saying, okay, you are important. It's not everybody else. It's not more important than you. And, I mean, that is so true what you said, because that's basically what it comes out to be, is that these people's issues and problems are much more important than whatever you got going on. And I am in a space in my life at 50 years old where that is a no-go for me. I let my yay be yay, and I let my no be no, period. If I say yes, then it's a yes. And when it's no, period. I have learned to guard my heart with all diligence, so I don't have no issues of life. Well, you know, there are going to be some, but I try to limit them as much as possible. By I'm going to use the words that my pastor used. He said, I don't have to necessarily put up a door, but I can put up a gate. I can kind of things that I want to let in, and the things that I need to, you know, open that gate up and push them on back out through the slats or whatever. sometimes we,
that's
build
good.
Up, we put boundaries in place where we put a wall around us. And we can't let anything in nor anything out. But if we use the gate analogy like he does, then I can kind of let things come and go freely. And I've started to adopt that in my life where I can, you know, because before, what I went from one extreme to the other, where I was overdoing it to the where I put the wall up and it's like, nope, don't even try me. You know what I mean? But now I'm in a place where I can let the wall down some and allow some things in, but still, boundaries that I have set for myself, time limits that I've set for myself, that's it. That's my yes to me, period. And it ain't changing for no one.
Oh, I know that's right. She said she ended it with that for no one. Okay. But you know what? You touched on one that makes you bitter and angry. And see, and I was thinking about that, and thank you, because I think I had forgotten about it. Thank you for bringing that up, Marilyn, because yes, it does.
Yes.
When you don't take care of yourself, you do become bitter and angry and frustrated. And what happens is you take that out on everybody else because you're mad at yourself. So that's
indeed, and
that's what it is. You're mad at yourself for not putting yourself first. So you take it out on everybody else, and everyone else is never the problem. It's always you, because you're in control of what you do for yourself. That responsibility is nobody else's but yours. And we like
to. Amen.
Yeah, and that's the truth. Sometimes a lot of us don't want to take responsibility for that. And we'll simply say, well, you made me. No, they didn't make you do anything. You chose to do what you did for them. They didn't make you do it. You chose that. So you have to ask your question. You have to ask yourself a question. Why did I choose to do that for them over what I needed to do for myself? And then why do I keep choosing to do that? So that's a conversation that a lot of us need to have. I've had that conversation with myself as to say, okay, you keep digging this hole for yourself. Why do you keep digging it? What is the problem? And then you have to get to the root as to what that is that's making you put these things before you put yourself. So that's
good.
You do. You have to, and people talk about, they don't talk to, I talk to myself all the time. If I talk to myself, I'd be crazy. If I don't talk,
girl,
to myself,
that is so true.
You will be. If you don't talk yourself off a cliff, sometimes you do. I mean, you say your prayers and you talk to God as well, but sometimes you got to say, hold up a second. Mm-hmm. Let me check myself before. You have to bring yourself down sometimes off those cliffs that you rise up on. You be like, okay, I'm tripping now. I need to settle down. You know, you got to, which is true. There is and right now I want to take this time to do a commercial.
Okay. Okay.
This is my first commercial, so bear with me.
Mm-hmm. You're doing really good.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay, we have a virtual conference coming up. It's the Wise Women Building Virtual Conference by Fresh Word Kingdom Assemblies. It will be tomorrow at noon with Bishop Casey Lewis, and this is live on Facebook. And then there will be another live on Saturday with Bishop Wynell Freeman. Again, this is Fresh Word Kingdom Assemblies, and this is starting tomorrow, Saturday, April 9th at 12 o'clock noon. No registration required. You can just visit the page on Facebook and watch the live.
All right. That sounds interesting. I'm going to be there.
All right. Good. Good. Okay. And I want to remind everyone about the, if you want to join the discussion, press 1, and if you are listening to this via the internet, you can write your question or comment on the message board. Okay, so now we are going to continue with the discussion. This is going good because I'm learning some stuff. Y'all teaching me some stuff.
Okay. Erica, you have a question. You have a caller on the line. And the caller, yes, you want to take them now or do you want to wait?
Oh, sure. We can take
them now, of course. Okay. Caller with the last numbers ending in 4231, you are on the air.
And earlier, say I was here. You hear me?
Hi.
No,
we can hear you now.
Okay. I don't know what happened. I was driving when I pressed the button to tell you that I was calling in. But I just been listening. And,
this is Aetna. Okay.
Yeah. I got on when you guys were talking about the wellness. I just didn't get a chance to respond, so I just been making some notes that I'm sitting still now. And you all had some great points, and I don't know if I missed a lot, but in terms of wellness, can I go back a little bit?
Of course.
Sure. When it comes to me and wellness and what I've learned, I'm learning to let things go and self-preservate. I have struggles with making myself first. I don't know where that comes from exactly, but I think sometimes it could be where you're born and you're like with your siblings. I'm next to the oldest out of 7. And I've always been the type of person who always see a need. I don't even have to be asked. I just do because I see, because I can. And I don't know if that's the way I'm supposed to look at it, but I've always used that method, that now that I'm 62, I find that I have to change it in terms of letting something go. Stacey, you said earlier about being assigned to a situation. Sometimes we're not assigned to that. And I'm learning that I have to ask God and really hear him say move or not. And that's something that I utilize more so today than I used to. And then I ask God to put a seal upon my heart, meaning that for me, when I'm not able to do the things that I used to do, that I don't feel bad about it. And then someone shared with me at some point to let my yes mean yes and my no mean no, because I was wishy-washy sometimes with that, that I would let somebody persuade me to change my mind based on what they needed from me. And I'm learning and have learned that your yes mean yes and your no mean no. And urgencies. Some people's urgency is not my emergency. I had to tell myself that. And that helps me to stand firmly on my yes or my no. So those are the things that I practice, and then I practice until I get it to the point where it just comes like second nature, like when I just want to help somebody, that I put those things first and put me first in things. That I'm a little better today than I used to be.
That's good.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
Sharing, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a major accomplishment.
It is a major accomplishment. And letting go is a hard thing to do. And especially and when you're in the line of, you're close to the oldest, you said, of seven.
Yeah.
That's normal for you to take on that leadership role. That's very normal. I hear that all the time when you have a lot of younger siblings, that's just it's just natural for you to want to be, you know, have that mother hen, you know, persona in the family. It's normal. I hear it constantly, and it's hard to get out of it because you're almost like in mother mode.
Yeah.
It's rough to get out of that. It really is tough to get out of that role. I have cousins who are like that, and I see it all the time. And it's normal, and it's hard to break that. It really is hard to break that. Congratulations to you for noticing what it was and for making that change. That's wonderful.
Yes.
Really is wonderful.
It's a struggle, though.
Oh, I know it.
And now since my dad is deceased, my stepdad is deceased, and my mom is now 79, and she struggles with her memory. And I'm just now getting back in the house from being with her. And so it takes on a different role at different times. So it's a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's all right. You'll be fine. You've gotten this far. You will definitely be fine. God is not going to leave you. He's going to see you.
Amen.
Get what you need.
Amen. That is something that caregivers have to remember, that they matter, and they are not any good to the person that they're caring for if they're depleted. You have to pour from a full vessel. If you are empty or half empty, you cannot fill anybody else up. So remember to take some time for you. I don't care if it's 5 minutes a day. I don't care if it's 15 minutes or an hour. However you can get it, take it, and do what you have to do, whether it's close your eyes and think on Jesus, take a nap, you know, get outside and get some fresh air. But it's important for caregivers to look at yourselves as a caregiver, like they tell you in the put your mask on first. And if the plane is going down, they will tell you to pull that mask down and put yours on first. Put yours on first.
That's good, Marilyn.
It was good, wasn't it? That's what they tell you on the airplane. They sure do.
They sure do. You got to take. You got to. You can't help nobody else if you knocked out. So make sure you're
trying to reach over to somebody else,
yourself. And
then you suffocate and you just pass out.
Exactly.
And, you know,
that's
I think
good.
It's good,
good.
That, Edna, even though you feel a little weary, you still pressed
mm-hmm.
and made it to the show tonight. And that's commendable
yes.
because you said,
yes.
I matter. I want to be a part of this conversation. And so for those that are listening, sometimes you got to press through whatever it is that's trying to hold you back. Because
yeah.
you are in control. And it all, you know, we all had situations, circumstances where it came down to a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We all had to make, and Erica said that earlier, we had to make a decision. And we all have to
mm-hmm.
make that choice. But
mm-hmm.
once we get depleted, and Edna, just put your phone on mute for a moment till y'all finish talking.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Once we get depleted and we try and operate with no energy, like no power, no source, like what are you really giving to the people? Or whoever you're helping, how are you really helping them? Because if you didn't tap into your source, which for me, my source is God, you know, it's that word,
mm-hmm.
and it may be praise and worship. Like today, I listened to Stevie Wonder's song, This World Needs Love. Man, I was so fired up, and that was good for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt
yes.
replenished. I felt restored.
Yes.
And I would just like to say that self-care is doing whatever nourishes your soul, your body, and your spirit, and your mind.
Absolutely.
And Erica, when you said no matter what, one weekend out of the month, it is all about you and you do what you want to do. I wanted to piggyback on that because I'm so with you with that. Now, when the pandemic first started, my job released us early to come start working from home, but we thought it was only going to be like 2 weeks or whatever, but it ended up being a whole year. But I worked every day. 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and
oh.
I did it for almost like 5 months, and then I was just burnt out, and we really wasn't supposed to be traveling and all that stuff. I said, you know what? I'm out of here, and I went to the mountains, and I tell you, I found that nourishment that I needed. So after that experience, once a month, I do treat myself, but I've been going to, I fell in love with hiking on that experience. Like I just love nature and being in the mountains. Like God is like, I just hear when I'm driving, I just hear him. I just feel so close to him. Sometimes I just start crying because his presence is so strong. But we have to find that one thing that gives you that joy, that gives you that strength, that gives you the comfort. And when you find it, when you purposely tap into it, you realize that you're stronger than you thought you were. And you know, that's my two cents, what I wanted to share.
That was more than two cents. Okay. That was a whole $20. Hopefully I'll do it. Okay, that was great advice. That's right. And I'm glad you took that time and said, I'm out of here. You ain't going to work me to death. Okay?
Great.
That was, when you can have the strength to do that, because the world will have you believe that you will not be successful if you do not work yourself to death. That's what
mm-hmm.
it is. If you're not up until 3 a.m. in the morning working on a project, that you won't be successful. That is a lie. Okay, you do
yeah.
not have to work all of that time for you to be successful. It is not about that at all. So
yeah.
you know, we can't confine ourselves to what the world believes is the right way to work or achieve success. We gotta let that stuff kind of go by the wayside there.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see here. There's another one important one I want to get to. And I want to ask the question. Now, I believe it's self-care is, like I said, we said spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, and financial. This probably ties into emotional when it deals with people. Now, do you believe that dealing with individuals, the right individuals, is important for self-care? And why?
Yes. Oh,
okay,
I'm sorry.
Okay, we're gonna start with Miss Marilyn. What do you think about that? Do you think associating with, you know, the right people is very important for self-care? And then I'm gonna, before you start your answer, I'm gonna give this scripture where it's 1 Corinthians 15:33, where it says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals."
Good morals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fact. But there is also safety in a multitude of counselors.
Yep.
And iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
So I believe that being around the right people at the right time and being in community with the right people is something that we do need for self-care. We are not meant to be alone. God created Eve because it was not good for man to be alone. So there is something to be said about self-care and being with the right people. We are supposed to be connected. We all supposed to work together. The body of Christ is the body. So each one of us has a part to play. I'm not the foot. If I'm the foot, you can't be the knee. You know, you got to be the knee or the hand. So, yeah, we all have to be interconnected. There is you have a tribe. You have a group or persons that are called to your life that you're supposed to be with and be around and be connected to. I definitely believe in community and being connected to the right people, that God ordained relationships. So that you can be, built up spiritually, and you can bear my infirmities when I'm weak. We need that. It's definite. That's a definite.
Wonderful. Absolutely.
Take it over, whoever.
She said, "Take it over." I guess that would be Miss Stacy. Take it over, Miss Stacy.
And repeat the question again.
Do you think that being around the right people is important for self-care?
I most certainly do, because the scripture you gave was profound. I want to read it in the Amplified version, and
okay.
It says, do not be deceived and misled. Evil companionship. And let me say it again. Evil companionship. Communion associations corrupt and deprave good manners and
good
morals and character. When you gave the scripture, I said, oh, my gosh, I need to look this up in my Amplified. The Amplified Classic Edition, it is delicious. I love how it breaks it down, because this is really telling us, do not be deceived and misled. So the warning signs here is evil companionship and people that corrupt, people that are not operating in good morals, they don't have any character. And I want to connect that. Erica, earlier, I forgot what it was. Oh, you were talking about the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so much manipulation in the workplace. When you are giving your all at the job and you're doing, and your supervisor or your manager, they see that, they are your self-care stealers, because they take advantage of that. And then you get overworked and you're so tired. And I'm like, okay, how do you handle a situation like that? And I'm connecting that with the question, because codependent relationships will suck the very life out of you. You will not be able to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. And then if you in a codependent relationship with someone that just wants to steal your gifts, that just want to steal your time, and they are narcissists too, like there is no positive reinforcements in a situation like that, because their whole goal is to get every ounce of energy from you so that they can survive. And again, you might help that person, but it's slowly killing you. So the decision, again, it comes back to the decision, and I'm going to say this and say it with great authority and boldness. We have all been anointed to say no. But oftentimes, we don't say no because, let's go back to the codependent relationship. Oh, what's going to happen to them if I walk away? What's going to happen to them if I close the door? What's going to happen to them if I really follow my boundary that I set up to protect me and give me my time, but they keep abusing it? Like, you still worrying, you so worried about that person because they show you that all they need is you. They can't do it without you. And so now you become handicapped and you become stuck. And you know, it's like you standing at the crossroad, swinging your arms. Which way shall I go? And then you have to really have, unfortunately, you know, for me, I had to really have a downward spiral. And I said, you know what? I have to tell this person no. This person is going to be hurt. This person is going to be disappointed. But I'm not responsible for that. So in order to, and it really came back to you know, because Erica, I talk to myself too. Wait a minute, I don't deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm giving them Woolworth information. I'm giving them like carte blanche information. They not even using it. So, you know, you really got to weigh it and look at it. And I said, you know what? I have to say no. So that's my take on it. And mm-hmm. and when we learn how to say no, we take control. You know, as a advocate for domestic violence, when, you know, whether it's a man or a woman and they come for help, we can't give them the answers. We could listen to them and give them a point A, B, C, or D and let them make the choice. But the goal is to empower them so that they can drive the bus. And with this discussion tonight, I really think it's healthy because you're laying a foundation with your questions that's allowing us to say no to those areas where we need to say no, and I'm going to drive this bus. This my bus. I'm going where I need to go. Because when we don't say no, and that's whether it's the workplace, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's with a business partnership, like if something is not right and that negative, that evil communications, like that bad person, that negative person, that negative energy is going to slowly eat you away. And before you know it, like you have nothing. It's like the bottom of a Pepsi bottle. You drank that last drop. Ain't nothing else in that bottle.
I know that's right. You set a mouthful again, Stacey. I'm telling you. And the thing about it is a lot of times it's loved ones that you have to say, okay. You know what I mean? And you got to say, I got to get away from you. And sometimes it's loved ones. And that's the hardest thing to do, is to walk away from a loved one and say, I ain't got to take this no more. You are not going to work my nerves. And they in the
mm-hmm.
family. You can't run away from them. They in the family. You know what I mean? There's nothing you can do. They'll always be there. So they'll always be an uncomfortable space for you. Until y'all get that resolved, until it's a mutual, you agree to disagree. This is my life. This is what I got to do with it. You know what I mean? I'm not responsible for everybody. I'm responsible for me. Now, we do have a responsibility to take care of one another. But like you said, Stacey, I'm going to show you how to fish so you can fish on your own. It's not for me to fish for you. It's not for me to carry you through life. You are responsible for your own self. I'm not responsible for you. You know, so it's that's rough. That is rough when you have to, when you got to put yourself around the right people and then you got to throw people. I'm going to let you guys in on something. I used to cry. I kid you not. When I had to let go of someone and I had to distance myself from somebody, every time I did it, I used to cry. And I could not, and I was like, why? I had to ask God, why am I crying every time I got to let somebody go? It's not like it's a bad thing. What happened was, because I had dealt with abandonment issues so long because my father wasn't there. So I knew what it felt like for someone to not be there that you wanted to be there. You know, you wanted to be in your life. So I knew how that felt. And I did not want to do that to anybody else. So every time that I had to, when I came to the conclusion that this person was no longer good for my life and I had to let them go, it broke my heart. And I cried. And I cried. And I got better with it. Now I can just push you on out. And I'm fine. I can push you on out the door now. Now I'm fine now because I've gotten over the abandonment issues, but I suffered for a long time with that. I was so brokenhearted over having to push somebody out, and it's no joke. It's no joke when you have to deal with something like that. That is hard when you love somebody and they got to go. That's hard. I don't think you ever take that lightly. I don't think that's ever taken, even though you get better with it. It's still not something that you take lightly. It's still something that touches the heart, you know, because we all have hearts and we have feelings and things of that nature. We're not animals, you know, we feel and, you know, for other individuals and stuff, and we love people. So it's rough to go through, you know, something like that. But I'm gonna head on down to another goodie.
Before you go over, thank you so much for saying that. And I really, as we continue to move forward, I want us to really be real and, like, take the mask off, because even with the questions, and we know to go to the word, and it's good to share the word, but everybody is not at that positive place right now.
Somebody is
like on the opposite side of that. Like, I hear what y'all saying, but I'm not there. I'm hurting right now. I'm angry right now. I feel resentment right now. And then somebody is grieving because, Erica, when you let that person, and you said, I love everything that you're saying, because you do not have a mask on. And that's what the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network is about. We want to encourage people to take the mask off. It's okay to say you're hurting. It's okay to say you're sad. It's okay to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
But don't anger. And what I want everyone to understand is that you matter. You care. Like, I mean, you matter. You have to care about yourself, because if you don't, you're going to be unhappy. And this is where we raise the level of accountability. It's not your mama. It's not your daddy. It's not your brother, your sister, your boyfriend, or whatever happened to you. Those things happen, but we can no longer use them as a crutch to be stagnant and unhappy. And the only way that's going to happen is to do healthy confrontation. And Erica says she cried. Cry if you need to cry. Shout if you need to shout. Like, whatever you need to do, do it, because it's all right.
Can I offer y'all two books that's helpful in this area of friendship, relationship, letting go of relationships? One thing for certain and two things for sure, we have to have what my pastor calls relational intelligence. You have to know where to put people and where to place them and where they belong at in your life. Everybody that comes in your life doesn't actually necessarily have a position in your life for a long period of time. They may have come for you to get connected to a job or connected to a different person in a different relationship. We have to start putting people in the correct place. So he has a book. It's called Relational Intelligence. It's by Dr. Darius Daniels. Take a look at it. It's a good book, and it really offers some real practical solutions to putting people in the proper place so that the connection that we have for them is different. We could get together and work together, but we don't necessarily have to be, you know, going out to lunch, you know, after we're doing the job. Let's know that we're co-workers and be co-workers. You know what I mean? And you meet somebody else, that may be a different type of relationship. We have to start really placing people in the right positions and doing the thing that we're supposed to be doing with them and moving on and being okay with knowing that that was a season for this person. I always say that people come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. They are either there, they have a purpose. When you come across them, there is a purpose for them, and it may be long-term or it may be short-term. But we have to start acknowledging it and recognizing it, and that way that will help us to be able to know when to release and let it go. And if it is somebody that we truly love or care, relationships, we are going to grieve. You're going to grieve that connection. You're going to grieve that loss because it is a loss. It's the death of something. It's the death of that relationship. And so you're going to have grief. And the other book I want to talk about is Codependent No More, which Melody Beattie, and it's a good book about codependency and how we can break that cycle of being codependent. One thing about me, I found out from going through therapy that African Americans in particular are very codependent, and I don't know what, how it became to be, but that's something that we do struggle with. We do have a lot of it in our community. And it's, this book really helped me with that, because in my family, I found that we were and have some really codependent relationships. And it showed me how to start getting out of those things and releasing those things. So I just wanted to offer those two books as help for people to, you know, to read. If for readers, you could take some time and take a look at those books and see if you can get some practical tools to help you move on with your relationship and build better relationships and put people in the right place in your life.
Well, then you know what? You said a mouthful. I said y'all be talking about 2 cents. Y'all be dipping out $20 bills over here. That was really great, Marilyn. That was really, really great. And the name of those books sound absolutely wonderful. So I'm going to see if I can get those. But I want to know, can you get your pastor on the show? Can you invite your pastor on the show? You know, sounds like a very wise person.
Mm-hmm.
That we can learn from.
Look, I'm going to use that gate analogy, because that was like, you know, when it was released out there, we kept on going, but that was really excellent. And I don't want to take away from where you're getting ready to go. But that gate was good, because you could see, you know, you could get a half gate. Some of those doors, you could like open the top part, but the bottom part is, you know, you just open the half, the top part of the door. And that's what I thought about. Like, you need to see who coming. Right.
So you know whether or not you need to shut the door or not.
Yes, exactly. Like, no, you ain't coming up in here.
Okay, I'm telling you. But you know what, Marilyn, you brought up one thing about the codependency, that you found out that African Americans are very codependent. I think that, and this is just my spin on it, I think that it's another topic for another day, but I think it comes from slavery. And the reason why I say that is because we were dependent solely on who owned us.
Wow.
They gave us a place to stay. They gave us food to eat. We couldn't sleep. We had to sleep when they said sleep. wake up when they said wake up, work when they said work, how long they said work. We had to be out there working, and I think that's where that comes from. I think that's a long line of heritage. I think that just comes from, you know, from our slavery days, and it's still embedded in our system. But that's my opinion. It may not be true, but that's just my opinion.
Girl, I think you need to hold on to that one. I mean, I'm saying, we're not saying not talk about it now, but I think that's something that can be built on. That mm-hmm. was, I'm like,
yes.
My mouth is wide open. That is powerful. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree with you.
I
go ahead, Marilyn.
I do. No, I was just saying I do agree with her, what she's saying. I believe that's exactly where it stems from or how it began. But it's still going on, you know, today. And we got to find out what's it going to take as a community to, you know, shake some of that stuff off, because we got to shake, still got them on. Even
sure
though enough. They done unlocked. They done unlocked the key. I mean, the thing, but we still standing there like, I can go for real? Really? You know, we got to
take it on. But you know what? I'm sitting here picturing it. Like, I'm picturing it. You're telling the truth. We still don't know. We are still not aware. We're not aware that we don't have bond. We don't have shackles on us. Even though even back then they put the physical shackles on us, we were never shackled, really.
Right, right.
We really never were. Our physical bodies were, but our minds weren't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we definitely, it's going to take some work. It's just going to take work of us learning and then teaching. But once we learn, we have to go out and teach others to know what to do. You know what I mean? So that is another topic that we might want to hang on to.
Yes, most definitely. I mean, as soon as you said it, like, I just felt that in my spirit, because especially when I wrote down what you were saying. You said they told us when to eat, told us when to sleep, told us when to work. Like, if you're constantly being told what to do all of the time, and then Marilyn say the gate open, but you ain't even coming out. Like, you could go to bed when you want to go to bed. Don't nobody need to tell you. Go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But even though, and we can parallel this with bringing the biblical view here, where in the book, in the Old Testament, when the people left Egypt, they so longed for Egypt, they didn't appreciate that God delivered them. You know, we want onions. We want leeks. You know, why did you bring us in the wilderness to kill us? Like, they were so stuck in Egypt. Yeah. So sometimes we can leave a situation physically, but mentally and emotionally, we still there.
Absolutely.
Which taps into another topic with the soul ties, because all soul ties are not sexual.
Yep.
So
right.
When you said the lingering, you know, I'm saying the lingering effects of slavery, when you said that, like, those cords need to be cut.
Yeah.
We need to be disconnected from what happened way back then and learn how to come here. And, you know, it's so many scriptures coming to my mind right now, but we have to apply the word of God to our lives in order for true change to come. And our minds need to be changed. And so on my page, I have, what is the condition of your heart? You know, and even last week we said, do you have a hole in your heart? Like, what we're doing with these discussions and all of the topics that everybody's bringing to the table, We acknowledging where some of these holes are, and we're providing the tools to help excavate whatever caused that hole so that we can fill it so that all of us could be happy again. You know what I'm saying? It's a joint effort.
Right.
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 This is good. This is a good show tonight. Look,
I wrote down on my paper earlier tonight, I just wrote this down, reshape your spirit. That's what I wrote on my paper. I had a spiral notebook, and I just wrote, reshape your spirit. We got to reshape what we've been taught, what we've learned, those things that have affected us, and start really applying God's word. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And if we don't start letting the anointing do the work and stop trying to do it with whatever, head knowledge, I guess you should say. It's God's spirit, by his spirit, not by might, not by power, but by God's spirit. These things can be broken.
Mm-hmm. And that's another, I'm getting ready for you. That's another topic too. I mean, I'm trying to stick to the script here, but that's another one too, Marilyn, here. In my mind, I believe that, you know, it's not that lots of people don't have relationship with God. And I think it has to do with, because when you look at the Bible and you read the scriptures, it's like a mirror.
Uh-huh.
It shows you who you are in that moment and what you need to change.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about change. Folks are not trying to give up their lifestyle. They want to go out for the most part and have fun. It's not that they don't want to do right, but it takes too much work for some people to do right. Because when you sit up here and say, you know, I got to take the Christian route and I can't be running around here slapping folks because they get on my nerves. I can't cuss them out because they get on my nerves. I got to sit here and put up with this. I can't, you know, I can't hang out in certain places anymore. I can't, you know, hang out with my friends no more because they're not living right. That's a lot of responsibility. It's worth it. You know, when you come on the other side, when you get to the other side of it, you find out that it's worth it. But most people find it hard to even travel through, make that journey to get to the other side because of what they have to give up. They're looking at what they're giving up, and they're not looking at what they're receiving on the other end. So that's
why.
Well,
I was saying I refuse to believe that my God and my Savior has said that he came that I might have life and have it more abundantly, and I don't supposed to have a good time. That we have made it seem as though that there is no fun in Christianity, or some people that have come before us or had taught us the Bible, and again, we can go back to slavery, they
mm-hmm.
used it to keep us subservient.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is joy in Jesus. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There is fun in Jesus. He had thousands of people following him. Do you think they were not having a nice time or they didn't want to be there? We make it seem like, you know, if you come to Jesus, your life's over. No, it's just beginning.
And absolutely.
That's the part.
That's the world. The world has made it seem like that. See, that's the
yeah.
thing. The world has put a cape over our eyes so we can't really see it. People you're just a boring old Christian walking around here talking about God, and you ain't got nothing going on in your life. Well, you don't know what I got going on. You have no clue.
Oh,
so,
Jesus is a vibe.
Like I said,
y'all better
get
with it.
That's another one.
He is a vibe.
We're going to hold on to that subject, too.
Yes, indeed.
We're going to do that. All right, so we're going to get back on the scripture. We done ran off to the other side. All right, so now this is this might be a goodie one that y'all might, you know, take to. Now, this is about the mental, this next question. It's about the mental and what you're hearing, like what you're listening to. Do you think messaging, like meaning whatever you're hearing, whatever you're listening to, plays a key role in how you feel about yourself?
Repeat that again, Erica, please. I think that needs to be said again so it can really sink in.
Okay. Do you believe that what you listen to, let's say on a daily basis, plays a key role and how you feel about yourself, meaning your self-care? Do you think what you listen to on a daily basis plays a key role in how you feel about yourself?
That is powerful. And whoever want to respond, well, Erica, call on who you want to respond on because I'm awake. I have the perfect song for that.
We're going to go with Marilyn. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Do I think whatever I listen to has is a factor into how I feel about myself? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so because I'm a scripture person. And mm-hmm. so I believe everything God said about me. I'm peculiar. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm made in his image and likeness. I am that girl, period. And ain't nobody nowhere can say different because I'm his daughter, period. Mm-hmm. I'm royalty. I'm a child of the king. I believe all that. Yes, I do. I think it has a direct effect on how I feel about myself. Yes, I do. Probably too much.
Now, let's say if you were to, like, and when I say, and that's good, that's wonderful, that's good. But let's say you go throughout your day and you listening to a little bit of rap, maybe a little bit of art, maybe a, you know, do you think certain types of music can affect how you feel about yourself?
Yeah, because I believe whatever you meditate on, that's, you know, goes back to what I said before. As you think, so are you. So how do you think? What you keep in your mind stayed on. If the Bible says that he'll keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, then if we don't keep our mind on him and we keeping it on other things, foolishness and whatnot, then that's what it's going to be. And that's the type of person you're going to be. You're going to have all that negativity in your mind. If I'm listening over and over again to somebody talking about bang, bang, shoot them up, whatever, yeah, that's the kind of mindset I'm going to have. I'm probably going to feel like bang, bang, shooting up somebody, you know, or that may be my go-to response when somebody makes me angry. Oh, it's time to, you know, air some things out around here. But if I'm listening to things that are, you know, more peaceful, calm, I think it will keep me in a different mindset. Oh, yeah, I definitely believe that. I think things can creep in, what we look at, what we read, what we hear, even the other individuals that we hang around. She just read it to us that it corrupts good morals. So being around negative things can definitely rub off on you. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So if you got them in you, it's no way that you're going to allow that kind of thing to penetrate you. There is no space. The Spirit of God is too big for me to allow whoever demon creeping. There ain't no space in me for that. There is no space. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, so there is no space for the devil to be inside of me at all. You know what I mean? We have to really start taking that in the stock. So he's too big and too wide for anything else to get in here. Ain't no room for that.
And I got to be the devil's advocate for a moment because, I mean, I love your attitude, and I know because I know you, I know that's really who you are. But, Marilyn, you was not always at that place. So give us an example when you wasn't at that place just so that people will know you real, that you're not Superwoman, because your response, and I'm not taking away from your responses, but I just want you to say, just share, you know, but
I cannot be who somebody else wants me to be. I can only be who God created me to be. And if anybody wants me to live in where I used to be, that's a problem for me. I can only live where I am at presently. What I used to did, what I used to was, or whatever, I'm not that anymore. I am a new creature, and I refuse to be the old creature or even give that creature any credence at all. He don't have no place. That creature has no place in my life, and I refuse to do that. I can't do that for you. Now, anybody that wants to, they can do that, but I can't do that. I'm going to tell you what my life in Christ is now. It is new. And that's what I want that's the message that I have to bring forth, is that in him we have a new life. What we used to have, what used to drain me, can't drain me no more. I can't, that can't happen to me. It can't be that way for me anymore. So
right, I respect your decision and your passion about mm-hmm. that, and that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say to you, when you are sharing and you helping people, because you are going to be in human services, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Everything you say is delicious. It's powerful. It's informative, and it helps. And I'm just saying that even when we do share, you know, it's powerful what you just said. Because what I'm hearing in my spirit is I don't care what you say, nobody else. I am a new creature. And that is really the nucleus of becoming a believer in Christ. And all I'm saying is everybody is not on that level yet. So I'm going to accept what you said, and we're just going to keep on going, because we all overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. God brought mm-hmm. us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. So some of us, we are going to go into these areas, and we're going to tell our story, and we are going to come out. So if God have you on a different journey, then, hey, to God be the glory. I totally understand. And we could keep moving.
Miss Edna still on the line?
She might be muted. Edna, let me text her.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, you're here?
Okay.
Miss Edna, would you like to answer the question?
The question again was what?
It was, I know, because I got ADHD. I just say stuff in different ways. So y'all have to excuse me, because that's how my mind is always all over the place, and I'm trying to train it. But right now, it's basically, do you believe that messaging plays a key role in your self-care, meaning that what you listen to, does that affect really how you feel about yourself and how you take care of yourself?
In some ways, and I guess it acts like a mirror, because when you hear something, you sometimes are familiar and sometimes you're unfamiliar. So it kind of like acts as a mirror of reflection for that person who's hearing what they're hearing. And sometimes, yes, it does influence you to change what you do. And sometimes not.
Okay. And that's true. I'm a big believer in it. Stacey, did you speak on that?
Your question is,
I think you passed it to Maryland. I think you said you were from.
I didn't say anything. I said, let me let everybody else go. Because when you presented the question, what I really thought about was the song, They Said I Wouldn't Make It. They said I never amount to anything, because I have that song on the board. And it's so relevant to your question, because people will say things about us. People will say things to discourage us. People will use put downs. And the enemy will use people to steal from us. Everything I deal with in my lifetime, present now, but everything in my lifetime, I didn't realize that the culprit was the spirit of robbery, Erica, Marilyn, and Edna. And the spirit of robbery stole from me because of Erica's question. People saying things to you about you. Well, that affected self-care. When you're told you're a mistake and you was found in the trash can, how are you going to take care of yourself after that? How are you going to feel worthy? Because that's what was told to me. And I pondered that, because I was a positive child. I was going to do great things. But those words hurt me to the core. And then, you know, just growing up and then other things happening, I always share my private pain for public profit because I went through some serious things that almost prevented me from knowing who I am in God and that I was worthy and that I was a good thing because Genesis, it says I'm a good thing. So all of these negative things that were said to me, it was designed to steal my voice, to steal my power, to steal my authority, to steal my destiny, and to shut me down. So that is a very good question because where self-care was concerned, I struggled with low self-esteem. I struggled with, you know, my confidence was lowered. Like when you picture blowing up a balloon and you are this balloon and then somebody just come along and pop, they pop your balloon and all of your air come out. Like all of your aspirations, all of your dreams, all of your vision, now doubt and unbelief creeps in and you wondering, you know, we back at that crossroads. Well, can I do this? You know, should I go this way to the right? Should I go to the left or should I go straight? Because you're not sure which way to go. And your confidence is, well, I'm going to make it personal, my confidence. Like, I struggled. And then when I heard that song, they said I wouldn't make it. Oh, my gosh. That song literally changed my life. And as I grew in my relationship with God, see, because my foundation started at a young age with the Word of God. I thank God for Sunday school because I believed everything. And so all of the words, the put downs, you know, being a survivor of domestic violence, that was a very difficult time. But overcoming all of that stuff, remember Shrek. Shrek said onions come in layers. Like ogres are like onions. They come in layers. I started taking those layers off, and where I came out of agreement with what God said, that's when my confidence came back. That's when my self-esteem, you know, started to grow. And that's a whole nother topic because once you know who you are based on what God said and you see yourself through God's eyes, it doesn't matter what anybody say about you or what you can do or what you can't do because the power of what God said is what's going to sustain you. And those people will look at you and say, wow, how is she doing that? Because that's exactly what is happening now. And I'm getting, I'm very passionate right now because this is a very good topic. Too many people from the beginning of the show up until now, but when we first started and breaking down the self-care and how when you don't take care of yourself, you don't feel worthy, you don't feel like you're good enough to take care of yourself. Listen, when you in that mode and everything is negative, negative talk, negative emotions, negative self-esteem, we borderline self-sabotage our own lives. And what is the source? It didn't come from you. It came from somebody being used as a tool by the devil to steal your joy, to steal your peace, to lower your confidence, and to prevent you from being the great man or woman of God that God has called you to be. So at this point, I got my boxing gloves on. What is the next question?
Well, all right. That's all I can say. Well, all righty then. Okay. That's it. I'm telling you, y'all roll it out today, but I'm just going to piggyback for a moment off of that and say definitely whatever you listen to is the negative. It plays a serious role. You cannot spend days and nights listening to negative anything, negative people, especially negative music, negative videos of people talking. You can't listen to that stuff. That stuff does have a negative effect on your life because somebody could say one thing that could take you all the way back to that hurtful place that you've been at. And then next thing you know, you turn around talking about, well, I'm not good for that. I'm not good enough for this. I'm not good enough for that. And you start doubting yourself. You got to surround yourself with positive music. You have to read positive things, books, scriptures, quotes, or whatever have you. And a good practice is surround yourself with positive things, positive words, positive like sentiments. Because I have a plaque that I'm going to share on social media. So it has nothing but positive sentiments on it. God's princess, beloved, you're forgiven, and all that stuff is all on this little plaque. And I'm going to show you guys when I have a chance. But you have to surround yourself with positive messages. And if you see anything on social media that is not positive, I suggest that you block it, delete it, whatever have you, because that stuff can easily seep into your mind. Your mind is a very, I don't want to say dangerous, but your mind, the brain is very open. And it receives everything that is said to it, and it plays it like a tape recorder over and over and over again, especially the negative stuff. You have to fight on a daily basis to get the negative stuff out of your mind so the positive stuff can stay in. But it's amazing how that happens. The brain just seems to cling on to the negative stuff more so than the positive stuff. That's why it's important that you must feed yourself positive messages every day, all day, whenever you get a chance to. That's very, very, very important. Very important. And that's great. I'm telling you, I'm sitting here taking notes off y'all. I'm sitting here like, wait a minute, I missed that. Let me get that. And I'm sitting here writing on this little piece of paper here so I can get some, I'm taking down some tips and stuff that I can work on.
I'm doing the same thing. This is a phenomenal show. I am so pleased with how this discussion is going because it's unexpected. You know, it's not scripted. You came, you are hosting, and you're doing a beautiful job. And for those of you that are listening, Erica Burnett is a life coach. If anything being said today is a blessing to you, just keep listening. And at the end of the show, she is going to provide all of her contact information. And if you need a life coach right now, if you need someone that can help you, you know, put your life back together and gain control of your mind and gain control of your ability to make choices. That's what this is all about. And Marilyn provided the names of some books. Codependency, Marilyn, what was the name of the other book?
It's Relational Intelligence by Dr. Darius Daniels and Melody Beattie, Codependent No More.
Okay, well, those are the two books, and so this is delicious information. If you are hungry tonight, if you are tired of going around in circles, listen, this broadcast will be available for your convenience. You can listen at your time, and some people may have to listen to it more than once. I know I'm definitely going to go through it again because I didn't get all of the notes because everybody is saying such good stuff, and you can't get it all, you know, at one time. But Erica, thank you so much for choosing this topic, but your questions are excellent and everybody's contributions is excellent, and thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. Like I said, this is my first time co-hosting. I hope everybody learned something or took something I had and is able to use, you know, anything that's been on this show. It's been a pleasure talking to you ladies. I just can't say it enough. The opportunity, I absolutely loved it. I learned a lot. I'm still learning, you know, just because people become coaches and whatever have you in this lifetime, whatever God will have you do, does not mean you stop learning. You still learn. You still are a student of life, and you can still learn from any and everybody, how old and how young. You can still learn, you know. So it's a wonderful opportunity. Like I said, I'm taking notes, still writing, trying to get my mind around some of this stuff on here. But it really has been a pleasure. So I just want to, I'll go ahead and say my who I am and my contact information, but I want to let everyone else go first. So We're going to start with Miss Edna. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell, you know, everyone a little bit about who you are?
Sure. My name is Edna Smith, and I live in Philadelphia. And I am a hairdresser, teacher, slash Philadelphia school safety officer. And I am 62, and I am a student of wisdom, and I love to learn, and I love to help people. And I'm learning to make myself first.
Wonderful. I like the way you threw that. Oh, I am 62 real quick.
Mm-hmm. It's new to me. It's new to me. That's why I say that, because I'm learning so much about seniors and benefits and the way people look at you and what they expect for you to do at 62 and making decisions differently, all of that. So it's,
that's another topic too, about, you know, becoming, believe
yeah.
it or not, when you get older.
Yeah.
It's amazing yeah. how people do have expectations as an older person. You do assume responsibility for like actually teaching the younger people. And that's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the
mm-hmm.
Bible. We're responsible for that
mm-hmm.
as we're older. We're responsible to actually nurture and teach the younger generation. That's our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And people look at you
mm-hmm.
for that. They see a couple of gray hairs and they're like, excuse me, ma'am. They start calling you ma'am. So, all right, we're going to ask Miss Marilyn, could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Yes, I'm Marilyn Yard. I'm from Chester, Pennsylvania. I am retired from the Internal Revenue Service. I am 50.
Mm-hmm.
I am a sinner saved by grace, and I am a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. That's who I am.
Amen. Amen.
I know that's right.
That's who I am.
Amen.
Wonderful. Okay. All right,
mm-hmm.
Wonderful. All right. Next up is Miss Stacy Lumford, the host of this show.
Well, my name is Stacy Lunsford, known as Eloquently Speaking, the pastor of poetry, and I am the founder of Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. And my baby is a Rise and Shine for Jesus World Mission Center. And it is an international, educational, and inspirational healing and filling station to those that are broken, those that are hurting, and those that are seeking, searching, looking for love in all the wrong places. And I wanted to take the time to say that because so many people are hurting today. And my life mission is to share inspirational messages of hope to encourage others. And I do that through the gift of writing and through the radio network that God has blessed me with. And he has allowed me to connect with these wonderful sisters. And then I have a whole international staff that is helping me with the radio network. And we're in 35 countries right now. So I'm saying that so that you ladies know this is not just locally here in Philadelphia, but we're touching lives around the world. And somebody I know needed to hear the things that we discussed tonight. So I am really, really overjoyed. And when I say I think this needs to be like a part two, Erica. And I mean, it's so many topics within the topic. And, you know, we could deal with that off the air. But the main thing I want to say to anybody that's listening is I did not get to this place by tiptoeing through the tulips. My life has been hard. And I have overcome many, many painful and hurtful things in my life. But because I did not give up, because I did not listen to the lies of the enemy, I am here today. So whatever you are going through, whatever your foundation has been, because oftentimes we struggle from issues and things that happen in our past as children, and it follows us into our adulthood. And one of the primary goals of this roundtable discussion and all that will follow is dealing with matters of the heart. So oftentimes when we experience bad things or negative things, we question whether God loves us or why did he allow that to happen. Well, God helps us go through those processes, but he uses it for his glory. And there is just such a bigger lesson to learn. So just don't be afraid. Feel the pain. Go through it. If anything that any of us has said, you can reach out on the website or you can reach out, you know, on Facebook. And if you want to talk to Marilyn, then you say, hey, I have a question for Marilyn. And you have a question for Aetna or you have a question for Erica. And on the web, on Facebook, if you do want to set up an appointment, you want to talk with one of us or you want counseling, you want prayer, we do have that ability to help you. So thank you for Erica just allowing me to share who I am and why I really do what I do, because I don't talk about that a lot. And I'm real passionate about what I do. And I really, really speak blessings over you. I'm proud of you because you spread your wings tonight. And I think you're ready for this. And just continue to do what God is placing on your heart to do.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you, you know, giving, you know, me the opportunity, like I said before, and just to be on here and to talk, because I'm an introvert. And I'm telling the truth, you couldn't pay me to get on nobody's radio show years ago to do anything, to talk about anything. I'm serious. You tell me, I'm like, no, sorry, can't do it. I'll sit in the background. I'm one of those background people. I take the light in just helping people, you know, do their own stuff. But God said, can't say no to this, not this time. Keep it moving. I need you to go, daughter, you need to get it together. Okay, you need to get yourself together. So I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. You made me feel very comfortable. You nurtured me through the process. You were patient with me. Even though, I'm going to talk about you for a second, even though you sued me, coming from, you got to do a commercial. I said, did she just give me a commercial? I looked at that text, she was going to give me a commercial for the last minute. Come on, do this. And I'm like, what? What? I said, I prayed, and I said, Lord, help a sister. Please. And he was there with us the entire time. Everything, I think, went well. It went smooth. Everyone had some very profound answers to the questions and just had so much knowledge that you guys shared, and I appreciate it. I learned in a whole lot. And I appreciate that. And I just want to take a moment to tell everyone again, I'm Erica Burnett, certified life coach and entrepreneur. My own stationery business as well, which is a compliment to my being a certified life coach. And also,
just keep going. Do what you're doing. Okay. That could go later.
And if you have any questions for me at all, the name of my coaching business is Pathways of Reflection, LLC. If you have any questions and you would like to talk to me, just send me an email at pathwaysofreflection@gmail.com. You can also look for Pathways of Reflection on Facebook. I'm on Instagram and Twitter as well. So you can always drop me a note in any of those places. And I promise you, I will respond as soon as possible. I'm always here to help. So I want to ask the ladies right before we go, if there is a bit of advice that you can give to someone about self-care, what would that be? And I'll start with Marilyn. This is a small bit, like a sentence.
So like I said, and when we started, just make sure that you take some time for yourself take some time aside for you with God and some time for you by yourself to do exactly whatever it is that is going to make you happy in that moment or make you at peace in that moment. Whatever it is, if it's 5 minutes, take the time for yourself.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to do Miss Edna up next.
I just want to say to remember that someone else's urgency is not your emergency.
Oh.
Miss Edna, don't be playing it. That was deep. You do the deep, quick stuff.
Yes.
And she do her stuff nice and quick, but it's profound. You like, oh, I got a whole message out of that, a whole big message out of that.
Amen.
All right, Miss Stacy.
Going to have to be one of her topics.
Yes. Definitely.
Yes.
My sentence is going to be to take action for your own life.
Yes.
And take an active role caring for yourself.
Amen.
Stop relying on other people to do it because they're not going to do it the way you would do it. And the artful skill of loving me. That's it.
Oh, Stacy did a paragraph, but we ain't going to say nothing. We not gonna say, I'm joking.
Okay, I know, but that's okay.
My advice is your life, your responsibility. Only you can make the change for the better. So that's mine. Mm-hmm. So right now I want to introduce our show for a Friday, April 22nd, will be Miss Marilyn Yard will be the co-host, and she will be talking about Can We Be Angry and Sin Not? That's going to be a good one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a good topic. So for all of you who are listening to this or will listen to the recorded version of this, please definitely show up for Friday, April 22nd, and call in to discuss Can We Be Angry and Sin Not?
Amen.
And we have seven minutes remaining on the call. Anyone want to chat about anything relative to self-care or have any other added info they'd like to give about themselves or just the topic at hand?
Well, I want to ask
the commercial again.
Say it again?
Which commercial? Oh, you know what? Yeah, that's what she said. She thinks you should do the commercial again.
Oh, do the commercial again?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to do the commercial again. All right, bear with me. Okay, tomorrow, Saturday, April 9th, there will be a Wise Women Building Conference given by Fresh Word Kingdom Assemblies. It'll be live on Facebook. 12 o'clock noon will be Bishop K.C. Lewis. And 6 p.m. that same evening, the same day, will be Bishop Wynell Freeman. And this conference is being hosted by Bishop Wynell Freeman. So if you can make it, please sign on. It's free, no registration required. Just go on over to Fresh Word Kingdom Assembly and just participate in the live conference. I'm sure it looks like it's going to be a good one. Yep. Okay.
Is that on YouTube, Facebook?
This is on Facebook.
Okay.
Your Facebook Live.
I'll send you the link. I'll send everybody the link. Well, Erica have it already, but I'll send it to you, Marilyn. It's also on my page. It's dynamic speakers. I mean, it's really, I already put it on my schedule. I'm attending the 12 o'clock and the 6 p.m. And, like, no boundaries around those times.
That's what she said. Okay. I won't be answering their phone, so don't call me.
Yeah.
That's what you're
I wanted to ask Marilyn if she could elaborate on her topic that we'll be talking about on the 22nd of this month at 7 p.m.
Well, what brought it up for me was the incident that everybody's been talking about, and that was the Will Smith slapping Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He was angry in that moment, and he walked up on a stage and slapped another individual, which in turn I'm sure made him angry, but he didn't do anything. So I want to discuss, what do we do in those moments when we are angry? How do we keep ourselves from sin in that moment? What do we have in place? What's inside of us? What's the tools that we're using to not sin in that moment of anger? Because the anger ain't the sin. The sin is the things that we do in response to the anger. So that's what the topic is about. It's just, what are those things that we're doing, or what are those things that we can do or put in place to keep ourselves from sinning in those moments when we are pushed to that anger, please.
Hey,
so I want us to all think about it and just think about scenarios, even just thinking about those who came before us, like we talked about the slaves earlier. They lived in a life where they had no say-so whatsoever. I'm sure they were angry.
Mm-hmm.
They kept their cool. So what is it with us that we don't have that anymore? Why don't we have that same quiet spirit, or that same spirit that knows when to hold them and knows when to fold them, knows when to walk away and knows when to run?
Know when to run. You better count your money.
Seriously.
I ain't heard that in so long.
Listen, I wish it was the 22nd, because I'm ready to hear this show.
That definitely
will
be good.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We have a couple minutes left. Anyone else?
Yes, if I may ask, what is the title to those two books one more time? I want to write it again.
Codependent No More by Melody, Melody Beattie, Beattie.
Okay.
And Relational Intelligence, Dr. Darius, and that's Darius. Daniels, Daniels.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to ask a question. How did this show affect everyone tonight? Like, name one thing that may have been new to you that, I mean, I don't want to put it in, you know, just what did you get out of this personally?
Time management. As it relates to self-care, I never married those two. You know what I mean? I never actually married them. I said, okay, well, that is part of time management, making sure that this time or this space is carved out for these certain events so that I can have this time to spend by myself or to spend with the Lord. I didn't actually marry that together. But that was good to, you know, make sure that we know that having that skill of time management is going to afford us the time that we need to do those things for self-care.
The fact that not taking care of yourself makes you bitter and angry. And that wasn't even at the forefront really of my mind like that. And that, you know, that bitter and anger is taken out on others. You know what I mean? And we don't assume responsibility, you know, for ourselves in that. So I learned that from tonight.
Okay. Edna?
And my takeaway tonight is establishing a blackout time. So
I'm sorry, say that again.
I learned or I'm taking away tonight with myself about establishing a blackout time.
Oh, okay.
That I can focus more on what I need to do and not multitask while I'm doing it. So I need to set aside a time and stick to it.
Well, I'm challenged by what Erica was saying about the slavery. And then Marilyn piggybacked and talked about the cage or the shackles being, you know, broken, but the cage open and we still in there. And I just want to revisit some things and see if there's any areas where I've been fearful and not really coming out of that cage, because I want to confront it the night before I go to bed. And I want to reshape my mind in that area so that I can, what Marilyn said really stood out to me, because she said she's a new creature in Christ Jesus and she ain't going back. And I'm like, wow. And I never really looked at it that way. But when you do get renewed in your mind like that, you don't go back, because God did bring you out. I mean, even though we share our testimonies and things like that, but in order to make the kind of changes that we need to make based on this topic and everybody's individual story, if we don't reshape our thought process, we're going to stay stuck. The shackles will be broken, but they'll still be on us, invisible. So that's going to be my takeaway.
And don't get me, one more thing, don't get it twisted now. This world doesn't make it easy.
Not at all.
Not at all. It's a constant fight. It's a fight every day, and that's why it's important. That's why the self-care is important, because it's a fight. Every time you will meet resistance every step of the way. Anytime you try to live a righteous life and you try to do what's you know, good, you will be met with resistance every step of the way. Every time you take a turn, there'll be something there to block you. So it's not, this life, I always say, it's not for punks.
It's sure not.
I say it like that, but it's not. It's not for punks.
How y'all think I found out about being angry? I wasn't. That's how I found out about it. That's how I found out that not taking care of yourself makes you angry and bitter and makes you rip people up in their throat, because I used to do that.
Oh,
my goodness. I'm just saying. That's why the topic is real to me, because I used to put my hands on folks when I got upset, and I was upset about stuff that I did. You know what I mean? That I put my own self in, that I ain't had no, you know, that I inserted myself in, and I ain't have to. Putting things on my plate that I didn't need to put on my plate. So that's why I know that it does that. It makes you angry and it makes you bitter. And so, out.
You sure
but,
you'll run everybody away?
Hey, I'm telling you, and that's why I don't do that no more. I thank God, because I was that thing scared me. The way I was acting, it was scary to me. I literally had to go to counseling and see what was going on with me, because it was crazy. It was out of sight.
But I commend you, though, because it takes a lot of courage to look at yourself and say, you wrong. It takes a lot of courage. A lot of people do not want to look at themselves and admit that their behavior is not right. That's hard for people.
It is. It really is a part of growing. And one thing you guys are going to learn about me, I am such a jokester. I will crack a joke on you in a minute, and I love how Erica, she just been laughing like since the first show. I really want us to just, you know, like we at the table talking, but I'm about to make y'all laugh right now, because Marilyn, I love you. I love everything that you just said, and that's why you had to bring Kenny Rogers out. You got to know when to fold. Know when to walk away. Know when to run.
That's right.
That's right.
And you do.
Everything has a biblical
foundation. Every song and every artist writes, even if the song is bad. There's a biblical foundation to everything
that
is written, because, like you said, the devil is in the Bible too. So,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? So, if you listen to it, you got to say, what message am I listening to? And you can tell whether a person is hurt, they've been through something, because only somebody who can write bad messages like that has been through something. They just can't get out of it. They don't know how to. And that's their release.
Right.
They're releasing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, This was wonderful. This was one of it's like sister. We at the what you say at the red table, like Jada. And I be red.
Look, we gotta get a table. Well, I am working on my studio space, so eventually, like if we can come in house, that's down the road. But we gonna have some moments like that. But for right now, we got our little invisible table.
That's right.
And it really, I feel empowered.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to, this really set the scene for my weekend. So I'm going to have a wonderful weekend. And I pray that everybody have a wonderful weekend.
Yes.
And
it would be, okay.
When is your test?
I gotta have it in by Sunday, so
tonight,
tomorrow, or Sunday afternoon. I think I'm gonna work on it tomorrow and get it out the way.
Yeah, I'm gonna work on mine tonight. But come on, Erica, and close us out.
Okay, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come on the show and fellowship with one another and talk about real life. And hopefully, Heavenly Father, the messages and the knowledge that we brought this evening will touch the hearts and the minds of those who are listening. Keep everyone on this call safe and allow them, Heavenly Father, to have a very, very peaceful and prosperous weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. Love y'all. Have a good night.
All right. Y'all.
Love
y'all. All right. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Good night.
Good night.